Dr. Michael Morehouse and Mr. Parker Hinson, and they're coming to us from Department of Behavioral Science and Community Health, University of Florida. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge our co-presenters who unfortunately weren't able to be here, but Ms. Julie Merton and Dr. Jamie Pomerantz for helping us put this presentation together. As you're aware, people with disabilities are as likely to be diagnosed with cancer as people without disabilities. Yet these folks experience some barriers when obtaining cancer screenings. So what Parker and I would like to talk about today are just a summary of, or a literature review of those barriers for people with disabilities. So just as a brief background, according to the most recent U.S. Census data, approximately 1 in 5 Americans aged 15 and older are identified as having a disability. This equates to roughly about 56, 57 million people here in the United States. Of those folks, 70% are identified as having a severe disability. So these would be folks who need assistance with activities of daily living, such as dressing or bathing, or assistance with instrumental activities of daily living, like transportation needs, medication needs, money management, etc.
So I'm just going to talk about the methodology. So we used the PubMed, ScienceDirect, Google Scholar, and PsycINFO databases, and included some of the search terms such as cancer, cancer screening, rehabilitation, disability, disabilities, physical disability, developmental, and intellectual, and then the combination of those as well. And then some of the exclusion criteria were that cancers that cannot be identified through early detection methods, and then also provider perspectives. So we actually came across a couple of articles that looked at healthcare providers and their perspectives and decided to exclude those, and ended up with a total of 46 articles, which honestly was a little surprising, thinking that here we are doing this literature review and we're going to find a lot more. So just for some general results, we had about 7 literature review articles that we found, 11 qualitative articles that we identified, and about 28 quantitative as well. Some of these combined quantitative and qualitative, but for the most part, we just identified them as quantitative or qualitative, depending on the results of the article. Surprisingly, the vast majority were regarding females, and so we had close to 38 articles looking at females compared to only about 2 for males. This is most of the cancers that we looked at were colorectal, breast, cervical, and we didn't really find any for like endometrial, and like really none for prostate. So even though that there were a couple of articles looking at men, they actually didn't look at prostate cancer, which the 5 that I just listed are in the top 5 cancers, the American Cancer Society. The articles per year, this just kind of shows the lighter kind of gray graph on the right shows the number of articles that we per year, whereas the darker gray shows the cumulative number of articles. So we can see that, for a while, it's and even just a couple of years ago, there was this a large increase, and then now we're seeing this decrease. I think it's important to recognize this and to not only like internationally, but there's also studies coming out of the U.S. as well, and we need to continue looking at cancer screening. So these are just the countries that we identified the articles from, the vast majority from the North American area, ourselves and Canada, a couple of out of Australia, 1 out of Korea, and actually 7 out of Thailand. And there was one particular author that did have a couple of these. And then we have a couple of in Europe as well, including like the Netherlands and the UK.
So this right here just kind of gives an overview of for the articles on what disabilities disability groups they were looking at. And as you can see, overwhelmingly, physical and intellectual disabilities made up more than 2/3 of the populations for the different articles. You had 9% had unspecified disabilities, but that was not too many. Let's see. In terms of specific types of cancers, and as Parker mentioned earlier, stole my thunder a little bit, but as he mentioned earlier, overwhelmingly what we saw is breast and cervical cancer, only 5 colorectal studies, and again, this is specifically for people with disabilities and cancer screening. So obviously there's a huge literature out there with colorectal, but relative to people with disabilities, significantly less. One prostate, no endometrial, one article that looked at some other cancers, and a couple articles that had unspecified cancers, but again, overwhelmingly cervical and breast.
So some of the trends that we identified were that you're less likely to participate in cancer screenings if you are a person with disability. And then additionally, that this trend is compounded if you, one, have a severe disability compared to like a mild. If you're an older, elderly individual, many of the articles, though they included individuals and looked at over 18, we found that those that were about 50 and older had much higher rates of cancer screening barriers, and that also having like a low income and like a low education as well.
And this big, very busy slide here just sort of outlines different barriers, and just wanted to touch on or highlight a couple of these. Obviously, accessibility and transportation, I think, are two that are very common just for people with disabilities and any sort of healthcare. But, you know, accessibility is in terms of equipment that can accommodate, you know, wheelchairs, tables that are appropriate height that can allow for transfers. Accessible changing rooms, things of that nature. Transportation, you know, for a lot of folks, they rely on others to transport them. And another interesting sort of area that came about this was it also required people with disabilities to coordinate with their caregiver. So if they have a personal care attendant, you know, they had to coordinate with that person in order to take them to the hospital. That was another barrier. People with disabilities expressed sort of a variety of emotions that they would experience, you know, embarrassment or feeling anxious about going to the doctor to talk about cancer. Healthcare communication is another significant one. Just the interpersonal interaction with the health professional was a big challenge. And another one that was really significant was sort of this disability focus. So, you know, it's fairly common, obviously, for not just for cancer screenings, but in general, that when a person with a disability sees a healthcare provider or health professional, the intent normally for that professional is to focus on the disability and the specific needs of those disabilities, and less regarding, you know, other conditions or secondary conditions or preventative care.
So just for some of the conclusions that we found, so that there's a recent increase in the number of studies examining cancer screening among persons with disabilities, which the trend needs to continue to increase. And the samples were predominantly women. So I think in the future, maybe even combining, looking at studies and including both men and women, especially for like colorectal. And again, we didn't identify any for like endometrial. And even moving, and then the studies also were limited to a few types of cancer. I didn't really find any looking at something like even like skin cancer. So individuals just going in, and maybe that's part of like the normal checkup procedure, but the actual studies were involved, you know, had more involvement of like these cancers that involve like guidelines, I would say. And then the strong evidence that disability status, disability severity, and the age of a person with a disability reduces the likelihood of having a cancer screening. So in conclusion, there's this array of barriers ranging from intrapersonal to interpersonal and environmental, a very like ecological array of barriers that I think that we can address in the future and to be aware of. So. Thank you very much. And
I didn't even have to give you the 1-minute warning. And we've got time for plenty of questions
yes.
Now.
One of the things that I've found with regard to this is that medical providers a lot of times are afraid to do screening on a population that they believe is not capable of making informed consent. Mm-hmm. And we used to receive these from the Home Grant for the breast cancer screening. Mm-hmm. Cognitive deficit and felt that they could not make decisions for themselves.
Right. Well, and it was that, and also, we noticed too that like a lot of the healthcare providers didn't want to add like maybe any more comorbidities to the person already with a disability, or add any more, compound like what they're already going through.
That would depress them, or what? Why did they not want to?
There was just less referrals, and actually, one of the main things cited in a lot of the qualitative articles from the persons with disabilities was that healthcare providers were a barrier. In the sense that, they didn't provide them the correct information. They didn't think that they were being educated enough. And even the healthcare providers' view of the person with disabilities, they felt like they received a lot less care and attention. So a major barrier. Correct. And those are the five that are identified by the American Cancer Society.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So right, the iceberg.
You
yeah, exactly.
The iceberg. You
exactly.
don't know what's down below.
Exactly.
So.
Right.
Right, yeah, and some of the articles though did just particularly the qualitative articles in looking at specific types of cancers. Yeah, while skin cancer necessarily isn't sort of out there, it would be something that someone health professional medical provider would look at during a normal checkup. So it's sort of interesting that sort of those cancers haven't been looked at. And to comment on something on your first point, absolutely. Certain different types of people or different types of disabilities subgroups may have sort of some unique challenges. Interestingly, though, we did find a lot of overlap across a lot of different disabilities, even in terms of things, for instance, like caregivers being a barrier. There was two studies, one with women with spinal cord injury and another with women who had intellectual disabilities, and they found that caregivers, specifically non-spouse caregivers, so a parent or brother or sister, actually acted as sort of barriers in the mm-hmm. sense that they had certain viewpoints of what you just described. So yeah, while there's certainly some unique challenges per subgroup, there is definitely some significant overlap as well. Just an interest area. Our department, we focus a lot on cancer, and we have backgrounds, about half of our faculty have backgrounds in rehabilitation counseling, so we're just basically beginning a research agenda in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
This inclusion slide in your trans slide, I was wondering why you didn't have male as the evidence that they're not going to be screaming and as a trans. So if the statement reads strong evidence that the people is bad, and these are less likely to be screaming, so if you're making that conclusion, being male with a disability is not.
Well, with the male situation, it was just in terms of reviewing the literature and the populations they examined. So, whether or not they're males or females are getting less actual screenings, you know, we couldn't answer versus right. just the literature, the populations that were studied were predominant.
That makes sense. And what's your method for making statements of status and age and all? Is it research?
Just a summary of the findings from the quantitative and qualitative studies.
Oh, okay. So I say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any one more?
And I just want to say that I believe the last year at ACA and APHA and the year before, there actually was a researcher from one of the universities that did a study in California for doctors that were part of the Kaiser system, and they actually did an environmental survey of their offices to find out whether they were wheelchair accessible and what practices actually were set up to have tables that would be so uncomfortable to do an examination. And for me, that was like a huge breakthrough, and I would love to see the offering impact to have somebody that could be identified for people who have physical disabilities so that they could go. I mean, dental is such a huge issue for people with physical disabilities, and it's such an important thing. There's so few people already that will do it, but to not have the equipment when it's so uncomfortable for them.
Okay.
So I wish that I could remember where they were from, but it was a very notable presentation.
It's really interesting.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, no, thank
you. Keep on schedule.